Sarvarasan, all kinds of tastes. Nadya, the rivers. Shira, milk. Dadhi, curd. Anna, different kinds of food. Gorasan, other milk products. Taravaha, trees. Bhuri, great. Varshmanaha, having bodies. Prashuyantaha, bore fruit. Madhuchyutaha, cropping honey. Translation: the flowing rivers supplied all kinds of tastes. The flowing rivers supplied all kinds of tastes. Sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If rivers are not polluted, and are allowed to flow in their own way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and able to produce all kinds of vegetables, trees and plants. The word ras means taste. Actually, all rasas are tastes within the earth. And as soon as seeds are sown in the ground, various trees sprout up to satisfy our different tastes. For instance, sugarcane provides its juices to satisfy our taste for sweetness, and oranges provide their juices to satisfy our taste for a mixture of sour and sweet. Similarly, there are pineapples and other fruits. At the same time, there are chilies to satisfy our taste for pungency. Although the earth's ground is the same, different tastes arise due to different kinds of seeds, although the earth is the same. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.10, Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. I am the original seed of all existences. Therefore, all arrangements are there. And as stated in Isopanishad, Purnamidam, complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should therefore learn how to satisfy the Yajna Purusha or Lord Vishnu. Indeed, the living entity's prime business is to satisfy the Lord, because the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. Thus, the whole system is so arranged that the living duty must do his duty as he is constitutionally made. Without doing so, all living entities must suffer. That is the law of nature. The words Taravo Bhuri Varshmanah indicate very luxuriantly grown big-bodied trees. The purpose of these trees was to produce honey and varieties of fruit. In other words, the forest also has its purpose in supplying honey, fruit and flowers. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, due to an absence of yajna, there are many big trees in the forests, but they do not supply sufficient fruits and honey. Thus, everything is dependent on the performance of yajna. The best way to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Lilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swarapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatrapatam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Jayamudhirayet.
నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భవతీర్నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
ఊహు సర్వరసాన్నాద్య క్షీరదధ్యన్న గోరసాన్ తరవో భూరి వష్మాన ప్రాశ్యూయంత మధుచ్యుతః. ద ఫ్లోయింగ్ రివర్ సప్లైడ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ టేస్ట్స్, స్వీట్ పంజంట్ సార్ ఎక్సెట్రా, అండ్ ద వెరీ బిగ్ ట్రీ సప్లైడ్ ఫ్రూట్ అండ్ హనీ ఇన్ అబండెన్స్. ద కౌస్ హ్యావింగ్ ఈటన్ సఫిషియంట్ గ్రాస్ సప్లైడ్ ప్రొఫ్యూస్ క్వాంటిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మిల్క్, కర్డ్, క్లారిఫైడ్ బటర్, similar other necessities. So, as I mentioned before, we are just beginning this chapter, which is the 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, titled King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. Because before we delve into the specifics of today's verse, let's just understand a brief context of events leading up to this verse of today. King Vena was killed because he was a despot. He had no regard for the Brahmanas, he had no regard for the Shastras. However, when they churned his body from that whole process, then we saw the advent of Maharaj Prithu, the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and the Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Maharaj Prithu is described as Shakti Avesh Avatar, which means a specific potency of the Lord is vested in someone, so that person then demonstrates those potencies and becomes very great in this world. Of course, the Lord will invest such vibhutis only in someone who is his confidential servitor. But sometimes though, and yesterday we were seeing in our Bhakti Vaibhav class, sometimes though that such personalities are also called as Bhagavan, in the sense that a significant aspect of the potencies of the Lord are invested by the Lord in them. So sometimes they are referred to as Bhagavan. For example, in yesterday's context we were discussing Narad Muni, how he arrived when Maharaj Yudhishthira was completely bewildered that I can't see Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura at home, where has he gone? And he is lamenting, and at that time exactly Narad Muni comes. And then when Maharaj Yudhishthira sees Narad Muni, he addresses him as Bhagavan. So not that Narad Muni is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but sometimes the greatest of greatest representatives of the Personality of Godhead could be called as Bhagavan. But we have to be very careful, because nowadays there is philosophy that everyone is Bhagavan. You are Bhagavan, I am Bhagavan, everybody is Bhagavan. So we have to be very careful. So, the Vandis and the Magadis, they are glorifying Maharaj Prithu as soon as he is born. And obviously Maharaj Prithu is now taking charge of the kingdom in few years. So these Vandis and Magadis, as they are glorifying him, Maharaj Prithu demonstrates exemplary character and integrity. He says that, why are you glorifying me? Because I have not done anything. You are glorifying me for things which I am going to do eventually. But let me do something, and then you start glorifying. Okay. So he is demonstrating that integrity. More importantly, and as a leader, he is taking accountability for the welfare of his subjects. And how is he doing that? He understands that a significant part of the welfare of his subjects is incumbent upon the earth producing whatever that is needed for the survival of mankind. Now, he observed that the earth was not producing enough. So therefore, what did he do? he chastised Mother Earth. He chastised Mother Earth, and eventually such so heavy was the chastisement that Mother Earth had to take the form of a cow to come in front of him. So he chastised Mother Earth and asked her, why are you not taking care of your children? Why are you not producing enough? To which Mother Earth responds to him and says that because I am being exploited, therefore I am not able to produce. Because as per Shastras, whatever Mother Earth's produce is to be used by mankind in the service and satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha. So she tells Maharaj Prithu, but I see that the rascals in Kali Yuga, they are just exploiting me for their sense gratification and to meet their own nefarious ends. Therefore, what is my incentive to produce? So it's a very good question. Mother Earth is asking. So she puts back that question to Maharaj Prithu. So Maharaj Prithu certainly understands. He calms down. In fact, it is said that then eventually Maharaj Prithu starts seeing Mother Earth also as his child and responsibility. So he becomes very affectionate to Mother Earth and he asks her, okay, now that you have told me your problem, now let me help solve this problem. Let me take care of Mother Earth, because if the mother is taken care of, then the mother will provide for the children. If the mother is exploited, then how can the mother have any resources to provide for her children? And the children themselves are exploiting here, the mother. Right? So this is a kind of the theme that is going on. And then eventually Maharaj Prithu, who is Shakti Avesh Avatar, he understands, you know, that dharma is very important. Without the performance of yajnic sacrifices, then Mother Earth will not produce. The famous verse is there, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyad Anna Sambhavaha. Without rainfall, there will be no food grains. But for rainfall to happen, we have to lead a dharmic life. We cannot keep religion aside and live a promiscuous life and expect that everything will be hunky-dory. And demand from Mother Nature that Mother Nature has to produce for our sense enjoyment. That is an asuric mentality, a demonic mentality. We'll talk about that more today as we progress through the class. So, then Maharaj Prithu levels Mother Earth at the request of Mother Earth herself, so that then there can be a sufficient productivity of land. Now here we see an exemplary leader who is not simply interested in appealing to the masses and pandering to the sense enjoyment tendencies of the masses so that the masses would vote for him so that he can remain in power, so that his government is undisturbed, which is what modern day leadership has come to. He is a leader full of integrity. He is a leader who is taking accountability and responsibility. That as a leader, I am responsible for my subjects. Therefore, I will take bold measures. Because a leader is expected to be bold. Bold aligned with the Shastras. Not bold and reckless in doing whatever he wants, misusing his authority. So he understands the Shastras very well. He understands cause-effect relationships very well. And more importantly, he has compassion and affection for his praja. Therefore, we see in the last 3-4 chapters, he is doing many things. And right now, in this chapter, he is about to perform 100 horse sacrifices. Now, see, we have seen very often that, you know, especially in the pastimes of Indra, that when, you know, Indra performs these horse sacrifices, what is the mood of Indra usually? To retain power. Right? So, we have seen that many times. But Maharaj Prithu has no such intention. The integrity of purpose is such that I will perform these 100 horse sacrifices because in doing so, I will satisfy the demigods, the Devi Devatas, and in that lies the welfare of the people who I am supposed to protect. So there is complete integrity of purpose that he is showing. There is no vested interest, no self-motivation here. And then Srila Prabhupada begins this purport by saying, if rivers are not polluted and allowed to flow in their way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and be able to produce all kinds of vegetation, trees and plants. So Prabhupada is giving a very nice purport here. So what we will do is we'll discuss this verse in a little bit of detail today. The theme for this verse will be that how Krishna consciousness is the solution to all problems. Of course, we know that Krishna consciousness is the solution. We have heard that umpteen number of times. But our problems in this world could be political problems, could be cultural, it could be psychological, it could be economic problems. But today our focus specifically will be on how Krishna consciousness can solve ecological problems or environment problems of this world. Bulk of what I am going to be speaking today, I must give credits to His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, whose notes really helped me prepare for today's class. So if at all you come across some very interesting points in today's class which you take home, all glories to His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, who has done excellent analysis of this particular topic. So there was, when I studied that, there was nothing for me to think about it. So he made my job very easy for today's class in one sense. So, and you can study more about this by going to his website, which is called as Spiritual Scientist, where he talks about how Krishna consciousness can solve the other problems also, political, cultural, and so on and so forth. So, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu begins his article by saying that modern day conversations around ecology usually center around climate change and global warming. But he says that global warming is only a symptom of the problem and not the real problem. It's a symptom of the problem. He says that while environmental super disasters, earlier environmental disasters were more considered, were more coming from doomsday prophecy. Somebody will say that in so and so day the world will come to an end. It had more those kind of, you know, apocalyptic overtones, if you like. You know, somebody is predicting something and, you know, it may happen. However, today he says they are an imminent reality. There is no need for doomsday prophecy. Everything is pretty evident now. Things are going down. People can physically see the impact of that. For example, land in Bombay, the moment you come out of the airport, there is a place called Sakinaka. It is on the way to my house. So when I go through that, I start coughing. No. There is no doomsday prophecy that's required. People are going to suffer more and more in future. Welcome to the world of pollution. Delhi is now, you know, beaten world record, I think. It's considered as the one of the most world's polluted cities. So we are really getting in, you know, India is really progressing into the book of records, all for the wrong reasons now. Right? So there is, it's common sense. It doesn't need any doomsday prophecy. In fact, somebody was telling me the other day in Delhi, they have also already started selling oxygen in bottles. So air which is free, we'll have now have to pay for staying healthy. Till the time, then some corporate companies will start taking control over the oxygen in the world and then supply it to you for $20, and they'll make various creams. If you want pure oxygen, you know, press 1 if you want high degree oxygen, press 2 if you want this, and then they'll charge you based on that. And they'll ask you, we'll provide other value added services also, we'll provide water also to you. So that's how the world is moving now. Somebody is going to take control over Mother Nature and its produces. So, it is not some religious or cultural imagination, but doomsday is now common sense. Now, there are, Prabhupada starts his purports saying that again, if rivers are not pollutant, allowed to flow freely in their way. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has brought out this point as the very first point in his article. It was a coincidence, but I was very fortunate that it happened that way. It made it very easy for me. He says, one of the major problems today, ecological problems that we face, there are two major problems. There are so many, but if you categorize it, the first one is depletion of groundwater. And the second one is what is called as the greenhouse effect. So let's talk about first depletion of groundwater. So it is said that 1 out of 6 rivers in the world, 1 in 6 rivers do not reach the ocean. Rivers are meant to flow into the ocean. Even metaphorically, sometimes Prabhupada writes this as a purport. All of us are constitutionally meant to serve Krishna. Therefore, the soul, dharma means the soul naturally flows towards the Lord. But here, when you come to rivers, 1/6 of the rivers don't reach the ocean and dry up en route. Dry up en route. It is mentioned that there are several reasons for that. Primary is inadequate rainfall. And why is there inadequate rainfall? Because there is no yajna. The demigods are not pleased at all. I think, was it Shankarshan Maharaj who said the demigod wouldn't even come for passing stool in this world? Right? He said that. Shankarshan Maharaj said that, right? So it was very, it just registered with me. It was very heavy. So, inadequate rainfall is one reason. Second is midway diversion of the water for other purposes. Right? People divert some way, halfway. It could be for irrigation also, or it could be for industry, but the water is diverted. Or plainly put, pollution could be the reason why the water is not reaching the river water is not reaching the ocean. Because of pollution, it is said that the river bed itself dries downstream. He has also said that today most of the Yamuna water which we see is actually not the pristine Yamuna water coming from the Himalayas. That has been diverted elsewhere. What we receive is industrial waste on the track of the Yamuna Nadi. And this industrial waste, whatever comes, is neither recyclable nor biodegradable. None of this. So it just gets accumulated and accumulated and accumulated. Add to all this is nuclear waste which is released into Mother Earth. This nuclear waste is said that it is the worst thing out of all. If it, so there is, it has to be number one pollutant, it is nuclear waste. Because this nuclear waste, if it is released in land, then what happens to the food grains that we eat? If it is released in water, what about the seafood which man eats? Because then the fishes are going to eat that and we are going to eat those fishes. Not devotees, but that's why I said generally, man in general. Because man is the only one who eats whatever he wants. Animals have strict habitat. Tiger will never eat grass. Cow will never eat meat. But man eats everything. So, you can't release in land, you can't release in water. So now scientists are saying that we will take all this nuclear waste, we'll put it in a space rocket and we'll throw it far away in space. So for that reason, they are spending millions of dollars and then you and I are paying from our pockets in tax. Right? They'll say protection of environment, they'll say. And then we'll have to pay to make Mother Earth green. So we are creating all this nonsense and then we're trying to use outer space. So even then, the thought is only to protect Mother Earth, because that's where I live. So I don't care if something goes wrong with other planets. So just throw it in the outer space somewhere. And this is what is going on right now. So this nuclear waste is something you can neither keep, nor you can destroy, nor you can give it to somebody else. You can't do a damn about it. A real Adi, what is that? Adi? Misery is caused by one's own body and mind. Adi, Adhyatmik. It's not Adi Devi. Adi Devi is what demigods will give back to us, which certainly they would. Okay, but this is caused by us. So, Prabhupada is saying that rivers, if rivers are not polluted, then everything will be very prosperous. But unfortunately, this is what is happening to the rivers. So, as much as today, much of the war, I was seeing one documentary with my son the other day. It was about, they were talking about why this whole, 9/11 thing, bombing happened. So there are some theories which abound that the whole thing is has got nothing, everything to do with control over oil. It may be true, it may not be true, we don't know, but certainly there was this documentary, that's the only truth. Okay. To what extent it is true, I don't know. But even if you keep 9/11 aside, it is not very difficult to understand that much of the war going around today, especially center around the Gulf countries in the Middle East, is nothing but dominance over oil. So in as much as that is happening today, as Kali Yuga progresses, that will now change to water. So today oil wars, tomorrow there will be water wars that will happen. In fact, in India it's already happening. There is what we call as the famous Kaveri water dispute, which has led to so many people giving up their lives. Extreme violence is happening. Whenever that Kaveri issue surfaces, Karnataka and Tamil Nadu are always at loggerheads today. So that is already happening. So much for depletion of groundwater. And then now we move on to the next big problem, which is called as the greenhouse effect. So His Holiness Mukund Maharaj and His Grace Dhrutakarma Prabhu, who goes by the name Michael Cremo, they both have written a book called as Divine Nature. And in that they have elaborated this greenhouse effect. So if you want to study this in more detail, you could refer to these books. So what is greenhouse effect? It says that gases, there are gases which are surrounding the atmosphere today. Nature ordinarily has ordained that when sun rays come and hit the earth, then Mother Earth reflects that sun rays back to the sun. So it takes benefit from it and then reflects that back. However, because now we have polluted the environment, human beings have polluted the environment because of the surrounding atmosphere, this, what is happening is that again it is, whatever is reflected again is coming back to Mother Earth. And that is what is the cause of global warming. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu writes that the greatest impact of this global warming, the gravest impact of the consequence of this is the melting of ice caps. And when ice caps melt, you can imagine, how much is that? 71% of Earth is covered with water? Or is it 79%? I was very poor in geography anyway. Pardon? 70s, right? Now we can imagine, and if again a significant percentage of that water is in the form of ice, which is not difficult to decipher because we have Antarctica, Arctic. If this water starts now coming into land, then you can imagine what's going to happen. And we don't have to imagine, it's already happening. That's why the phenomena of tsunamis and floods, which can devastate an entire state or even a country. So that we are seeing. That's the biggest, one of the gravest impact of global warming. And in fact, if you see, most economies around the world are centered around coastal cities. If you take America, New York, which is the hub, is a coastal city. If you talk about India, you talk about Bombay, you talk about Calcutta, you talk about Chennai, all are coastal. So when that happens, the man's pursuit of sense gratification through economic development itself is going to be defeated. So then further, and nobody can stop this now. The way it has gone, nobody can stop it. No wonder it is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? As Kali Yuga progresses, Tatascha anudinam dharmam satyam shaucham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshati ayu balam smriti. So as Kali Yuga progresses, age is going to come down, ayu balam strength is going to come down, remembrance, everything is on the wane. So he further writes that our ecosystem, as ordained by the Lord, is very symbiotic in its nature. Ecosystem is very symbiotic in its nature. So in that sense, there is a beautiful, intelligent cosmic design which the Lord has designed for us. Very simple example, but very sweet example. When we see sometimes, even in National Geographic, I've seen it many times, that animal is, grazing, and then there are fleas which are sitting on the body of the animal, right? And then the fleas are... Now, my immediate thought was that, this is not good. The fleas are, you know, sitting on the animal's body. It must be causing inconvenience to the animal. This is not correct on the part of the fleas. I mean, how has nature ordained this? But my eyes were opened when I read Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's article that actually these fleas, it's very convenient for the animal because that's how the animal takes bath. The fleas take away all the dirt and other organisms that are otherwise would cause harm to the animal's body. And in that sense, that is food for the, that's how the fleas are being maintained by the Lord. And the animal is also very happy. Sometimes also the animal wants to scratch its back. It can't do it like us. Right? So it's good. Somebody is, you know, providing that bite. So that is one. Secondly, something which all of us know is the plants take in carbon dioxide and release oxygen. So in one sense, the plant survival is based on what we give out and our survival is based on what plants give out. So there is a brilliant symbiosis that we see in this ecosystem. However, because we are trying to create our own design, our own what is it called as bespoke design, customized design of the world, then nature is giving back to us right now. There is one documentary which is called as Home. Yesterday I was going little bit, I had a chance to see that. So it's a very interesting one. Interesting article. Just see that. Especially the camera work is simply brilliant in that. It's called as Home or Our Home, something like that. There, if you see, you'll see that the earth is being photographed from miles above, you know, from space. And just like, for example, you know, some people have scars in their body. So otherwise a very handsome person or a very beautiful woman who has scars at different parts of the body. Just like that, the earth is naturally very beautiful, but when you see it from the cosmos now, you can see scars, several scars on the earth. Now, when you go deep, you will find that wherever these scars are, they are where man has inhabited. And earth is very beautiful still in those places where human beings are not gone. So that is our contribution to the earth. The conversation goes on further to dams. One of the gravest things that man has designed is the concept of dams. Dam originally tries to hold water and then divert it to where, you know, human beings want to settle and live. Right? Because I have decided to settle in a place where water normally doesn't flow, and now therefore I want to change the course of the water to where I want it to come. And therefore, I'll build a dam. But what happens is, when water flows from the higher regions to the lower regions, then there is a lot of soil that comes along, good soil, which is required for downstream purposes. By building a dam, you're blocking that, A. Number two, B, what happens is that when the water flows down, all the sediments start building up ahead of the dam now. And then slowly what happens? Then the sediment over a period of time comes and blocks the dam itself. And then it could also, the water then could also overflow from there. So that has also caused a lot of, that poses a serious risk to downstream, as well as it is also an issue. It has happened and it has led to loss of life. And lots of villages have got inundated and people have lost their home, their families. So these are some impacts that he discusses in his article. Essentially, one more aspect that he talks about there is we are altering nature's nourishment to us. Man is supposed to eat vegetables, but man has replaced that diet with meat. Now, even if you take aside meat and the deleterious effect that meat has, the whole industry of meat, if you read the book Higher Taste, it's very nicely described there. What is the impact of meat eating? Even if you keep meat aside, even vegetables today are, now people are saying it is poisonous. Many of the vegetables, don't eat this, don't eat that, because there is fertilizers in that. Then you go for organic, right? And even if the vegetables don't have fertilizers, because farming in general is going down, then we are required to import a lot of vegetables, and that has led to the frozen foods industry. Now when you freeze a food for 50 days, after which you come out, then you eat that, That day I was eating that, what is that called, as drumstick. Okay. And I was trying to get something out of that drumstick, nothing was coming out. Then somebody, I think our Nitin Prabhu was there, he explained, Karunanidhi Prabhu was there. He said, this is because this must be a frozen drumstick. Nothing was coming out of this. Usually in India, when I go and eat drumstick, such a thick layer comes out. Then you kind of, you know, tear that in whichever way. No, I don't want to be very gross here, but South Indian style, sambar and drumstick. Right? It has to flow till here. Okay. So nothing was coming out, you know. Nothing was coming out. And that is because the drumstick was already frozen. So it is like a wire. Wires are coming out, you know, of the drumstick. And I am sure all of you have, you know, experienced this. In fact, I was having a discussion, you know, there was some program one day, I was invited to a home program and I was discussing with our Gaurav Kamboj Prabhu. He was telling me, Gaurav Kamboj Prabhu, many of you know, is, you know, is spearheading the mother cow dairy milk project. So he was telling me that farmers do not have any incentive to milk the cow now. There is absolutely no financial incentive to them. Not only that, but even the supermarkets don't have any incentive to store milk. Milk has got negative contribution in financials. If you do, it has got a negative contribution. Forget about, you know, cost, then inherent profits coming out of the product, and, you know, the profitability coming down because of overheads. The contribution itself is negative, which means every liter of milk that you produce, you are at a loss, right? It is fundamentally unviable. But the supermarkets, then I asked them, then why do the supermarkets store milk? Because the purpose of a supermarket is not charity. They are not dharmashalas there. No. They want to make money. He said, it is only because they know that human beings need milk to survive. So they are okay to procure milk at a loss and make money out of other products. So the cost, the losses, they'll put somewhere in some other, you know, milk chocolate or, you know, some other, you know, nonsensical derivation that comes out of milk, and then they'll make money from there. But what about the farmers, right? So he says that agriculture in future, he was telling me that farmers are not going to be interested in agriculture, and they are, specifically milk is not going to come. Milk is completely going to be controlled by industry. And obviously we know that the milk which we get today from the market is tainted with the blood of a cow, because the way it is milked is very inhuman. We use mechanized equipment, and the cow starts bleeding after some time, and all that goes in. Secondly, the cow is fed with all kinds of nonsense. It is fed with all kinds of, it is given hormonal injections, and the cow is not even given grass to eat. Cow is given what? Soya, right? Soya to eat, and sometimes corn to eat, and then sometimes even beef was given to the cow to eat. Now, what goes in comes out. This is not only the rule of human body, it's also computer. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever comes from upstream goes downstream, even in IT, right? We all know that. So therefore, we need, in less like in the industry, information technology industry, everyone is worried about data cleansing. So right now, there has to be either milk cleansing has to happen, or we have to go and attack the root cause of the problem, which is what is the vision of the whole mother cow project today. That a cow should not be separated from the calf. So that the cow is not in anxiety. The calf gets its rightful share, and then the cow also is very happy, and very happily it gives that milk. So whatever nonsense we get in the outside market, that is toxin in the name of milk. And the more and more we drink that, this new phenomenon of lactose intolerance, you know, comes up because of that. And then therefore people become vegans. But if you read the Shastras, Prabhupada is saying that milk is required. Milk is the fundamental food of mankind. Milk and food grains. Because milk nourishes the spiritual tissues and makes one very receptive to the messages of God. So how can we keep milk outside our diet? How can we just go by what the vegans are espousing? We can't, right? So therefore we have to find a way by which we get uncontaminated milk. So there are so many things that are happening in the ecosystem where we are trying to exploit Mother Nature more and more, and it is giving back it everything back to us. So what is the real underlying problem? So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says that the real problem underlying all this is the idea. And repeat, the real problem underlying all this is the fundamental idea that I can tamper with nature. That I can tamper with nature and I can improve nature. That is a raskaldom. I can tamper with nature, I can control nature, I can improve nature. And that assumption, obviously, we are realizing is counterproductive, short-sighted, and to a large extent it is presumptuous in its nature. It's simply arrogance of mankind. Now, let's come, enough of discussing the problem on a nice Sunday morning. Solutions. Two types of solution. We can go the material solution route and we can go the spiritual solution route. Let's discuss the material solution route first. So materially, if you go outside, they'll give you three solutions. They'll give you three R's. What are those three R's? Reduce consumption, reuse and recycle. This is the material solution to the problem. Reduce, reuse and recycle, and that way you can counter climatic change or help contribute. So let's discuss this, whether these are solving the problem and how these are solving the problem. Reduce, the premise in reduce is don't consume too much. If you don't consume, they will not produce too much. So stop consumption, therefore stop production, which is nice. You are attacking a symptom of the problem, but still at least you are doing something about it. However, reducing is easier said than done. Simple example which all of us can relate to is cell phones and laptops. Now we all know that there's a heavy component. How much component of plastic goes into a cell phone? 70-80%? I don't know. More? Less? But significant percent. None of us will deny that part. Right? Significant amount of plastic and other nonsensical items go into cell phones as well as laptops. Now, the problem is when you buy a cell phone or a laptop, within 1 year it gets outdated. What to speak? Within 1 year. Like Samsung, what is that? 2 years back I bought that Samsung S8, the latest phone in the market. It's competing with Apple and all that. And sometimes there are some devotees with whom I have conversations about whether Apple is better or Samsung is better. But essentially, shastrically, both are nonsensical. Sorry? Now it's got S9.
Plus.
So, plus, yes, plus. Because, now see this, see the thinking behind the corporate.
In 10 years' time, there's going to be flying cars.
Correct. Now, if S9 plus does not lead, if the industry can't come out with an innovative S10, then they'll come out with S9 double plus. But essentially, you, whatever you bought, you have to change it now. You have to buy more from me. That's the whole idea. Keep buying, keep buying, keep buying. Otherwise, you'll lose your prestige. I remember one day I was entering office and my company had given me a BlackBerry phone. Now, BlackBerry was once upon a time, they used to say, you got BlackBerry? No, people will say. So, the BlackBerry production was increasing. Strawberries and cherries, definitely those berries are going down. But BlackBerry is going up. Okay. So, I was carrying this BlackBerry and one guy looks at me in the lift and that person was part of my team actually. I was his manager. He's telling me, Jagan, what's wrong? Which age are you living in? I was thinking, BlackBerry I'm using. Because still that BlackBerry had button touch. So, if I have to type something, I still had hard buttons. So, I had to do that J, J, J till I get that J. I, whatever that central letter. He was saying, which age are you living here? And he was going tuck, 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 tuck very fast on that. And then I was thinking, am I abnormal or something like that? Then it's even today I remember that. He said, what age are you remembering? So that's how people around you will tell you that you are primitive in your thinking and you have something which you should not keep. Otherwise, I will no longer respect you if you have that. You should have the latest. And that's what industry has done to our psyche. So what's happening is reduction has become impossible because of the glamour that is associated with the latest products. Reduction is not possible. Now, interestingly, Chaitanya Pracharan Prabhu says that in an agrarian economy, whatever is being produced is still very useful all the time. For example, if grains are produced and grains are produced and grains are produced and grains are produced over a period of time, grains are produced and grains you are going to eat. Whereas, whatever industry is producing, whatever they produced last year is outdated this year, it is not supposed to be used. And even if you want to use it, they'll say, we don't support that anymore. Oh, this is not supported anymore. Which means, even if it kind of blasts tomorrow, then they'll say, we told you. Can we provide some of the services, please? That's what that call center lady will tell you. Right? We told you it's not supported. But we are coming out with a new model. So that's what is happening. So reduction is becoming, the industry will not allow us to reduce, even if we want to. That's one problem. Because that's the only way industry can function. By producing things which we don't need. And making us feel that we really need it. And our life depends on it. Second is reuse. We'll talk about reuse. Now in some cases, reuse is possible. For example, someone may say, I believe in reusing. So I have replaced all the rechargeable batteries I'm using. Instead of use a battery and throw away in the dustbin. So somebody can do that. But there is a limit to what you can reuse. For example, recently it was revealed that plastic bags. You can't even reuse. For example, if you buy Bisleri bottle or something like that. One of those bottled waters. It is made of such thin plastic. In fact, earlier, once upon a time, I used to reuse that and keep drinking. Till someone told me, don't do that, you'll get cancer. I said, what is it? Okay, then I started throwing that. Then he said, don't use these thin plastic bottles. You can't even reuse that. But, industry still continues producing that kind of water. And we keep on consuming. There is no option because tap water, maybe in this country, tap water is potable. But if you go to India, tap water is not potable. You can't drink it, right? And when you are outside, you can't go and then go into a restaurant again, boil it and then drink. Or you don't have aqua guard all the time. So you will have to buy this. And then what happens to that? It is just chucked away. In fact, in Vrindavan, we all know that when the cow's body was dissected, so many kilograms of plastic came out of the body of a cow. So can you imagine what is happening? So reuse is not as, is again easier said than done. And even if these plastic bottles are thrown away and discarded, science says that it will take 500 years for it to degrade. And even if it degrades, it will degrade only into its original form, whatever it comes from, resin or whatever that leads to plastic, which is not very conducive for the environment anyway. Because it is taken from petrochemicals and then the resin is produced through that. So it's not something which Mother Nature is giving naturally to you. But even when it is degraded, it still lives in an artificial condition only. So that is the problem with reuse. And the third aspect is recycle. Now we obviously see all the dustbins with yellow top and green top. Right? So even in my house, Emmanuel is very, very particular. She says that put it in this bag and that bag, and I try to do that. And sometimes by mistake, if I do something, she is very heavy at me. No, we should take care of the environment, which is good. So I'm happy. She's particular about that. But I'm not a very self-disciplined person. So it takes lots of self-discipline. And when you're in a hurry, you have to throw something and say, oh, this bag, that bag. It's okay, forget it. Put it somewhere. Now, if one individual, irresponsible individual, can do that in this world, you can imagine, how can I expect others to be self-disciplined? Okay, because sometimes, all the time you cannot keep on sorting everything. Okay, plastic, put in this bin, this in that bin. Sometimes you just can't do that. So, while it is a good concept, it requires tremendous amount of self-motivation and self-discipline to do that. And can we self-discipline and self-motivate the entire world? We know the answer. Right? Even to motivate ourselves is a big problem. What to speak of motivating others, like that. And even when you try to do it year on year, month on month, year on year, if you try to do that, motivating ourselves to do that thought comes in the mind. What's going to happen if I throw one bottle, in this bin? It's not going to make a big difference to the world. How much can I pollute after all? The world has a population of 7 billion. 7 billion minus 1. What difference does it make? Almost the mind starts giving you that message. Then you say, okay, let me also. So, it's extremely difficult. And we know that, these big governments, they will make all this meet here and there, meet in Brazilian summit, Rio de Janeiro. They had that ecological summit and all that. But even these people, at the end of that, And at the end of this summit, it has to culminate in different countries' policy formulation. And these countries will also not formulate policies. The moment they get a pushback from the World Bank, they'll stop it. For example, I know that the current Indian government did a great job. Okay. In fact, it is doing. First of all, you know, in Bombay, they banned cow slaughter, which is very good. No government in the past has done that. Okay. The present government is doing that. Then they banned plastic, which is very good. Right? But no matter what they do, they are getting tremendous amount of pushback for everything. Okay. The opposition now has formed a coalition, okay, to counter all that. Okay. Because so many people are thriving in the business of selling plastic. Right? What will happen to that industry? So that industry is lobbying with the opposition party, and so many things are happening. So it's not easy to implement these policies. So any material solution that we are trying to put, be it reduce, reuse, recycle, is not going to work. With time, again, things will deteriorate further. And therefore, Prabhupada is saying, the best way is to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Okay. Prima facie, we can understand that statement, what Prabhupada is saying. I know, Prabhupada always writes that, Sankirtan movement, Kali Yuga. But there is deep meaning, that's why Prabhupada is writing. He just didn't write it just like that. Out of some sentiment, or, you know, he came in some specific love for Krishna, and don't, yes, definitely Prabhupada was always in Krishna Smaran. But Prabhupada was also very aware, materially very aware, and very materially responsible. So he wants us, his children, to lead by example in this world. And he is giving these purports for all of us. So what is the solution? If the three R's do not work, then there is a fourth R which will work. What is that? Not reduce, not merely reduce, not merely reuse, not merely recycle, but raise the consciousness. That is the fourth R. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu brings across this point very beautifully. He says that the whole environmental crisis originates with the lowering of human consciousness. Lowering of human consciousness, in that the higher the consciousness of a person, the more a person is aware. First is to remain conscious, first of all. And one of the symptoms of being conscious is to be aware. For example, a drunkard is not conscious, so he is not aware of anything. He is not even aware, he is fallen in the gutter. And he is singing a nice song, saying that, I am floating in, you know, paradise right now. Maybe in one of the beaches in Mauritius or Maldives. Right? But actually he is in the gutter, he is not even aware. He thinks what he is doing is great, and he is enjoying, but actually he is suffering. So first thing is consciousness. A person has to become aware, become conscious. Mankind has to become less self-centered. Mankind means all of us. All of us are expected to become less self-centered, become less selfish, and become more aware of what is happening all around us. So he gives this as one of the conclusions. Interesting analogy of a baby and an adult. A baby, because a baby is not evolved in its consciousness and sense of responsibility, what the baby does, it doesn't care whether it's 12 o'clock in the morning, you know, night, or 2 a.m. in the morning. It start doing that. And the parents say, come on, why did I marry, you know. Okay, initially it's all nice, kuchi kuchi kuchi, nice, sweet and all that. The baby is very sweet in the morning, but in the night, when it creates havoc, then you start thinking, oh my God, it's not all enjoyable. In this country, nothing comes free. Salary comes with a tax. Everything has a tax here. So, now the baby, why is it doing that? Not because it wants to harass, because it is simply not aware. It doesn't say, let me harass my parents. No, not like that. The consciousness has not evolved. It doesn't even know what it is doing. Why? For a baby, what is important is, I want milk now. That's it. And I'm going to do whatever noise it takes to get everyone's attention. And after that, he's sleeping. Like that. And parents are now, sleep has gone now. Baby is nicely sleeping. Right? So that is what happens. Or passing stool whenever. Baby passes stool whenever. Mother has to change. Now, if the mother doesn't change, till the time it discomforts the baby is happy. But the moment that starts again, and the mother tries milk. Maybe, susu kya hoga. Maybe, you must have, wet his nappy or something like that. And then the mother takes it, and again the baby is sleeping nicely. So our consciousness is like the baby. We are so self-centered. We make all these noises. As long as my day is, I have know, I have got my quota of food or whatever. I don't care what happens to others. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita in that article, he says that we have to become less self-centered, less selfish and more aware of the outside. As we grow, he says, as the baby grows, he understands what I do is not correct. I shouldn't be crying like this. My poor parents, they are working very hard and they may also have a lot of problems. So, I should not just bother them about my concerns. I should also try to help them. So, come out of baby consciousness to adult consciousness. Now, he also mentions an interesting point. He says that till 500 years ago, even till 500 years ago, today we can say Kali Yuga, but even 500 years ago was also the onset of Kali Yuga. But at least till 500 years ago, there was an understanding that nature is sacred. That understanding was there. And he quotes from Greek philosophy. The Greeks opposed mining. The whole concept of mining was opposed by the Greeks. They said that nature has given to humanity, this is a very nice statement, nature has given to humanity what is right service. If we dig into nature and take from there, that is not humanity's quota. And we should not do that. One should not recklessly intrude into nature and take from nature whatever one wants. So essentially, there was a vision of nature as sacred. Nature was considered as sacred, as mother nature. That's why the word mother nature comes. It was considered as sacred. Sacred means involving a higher power. Sacred is involving a higher power than us, a power that is connected to God. But slowly that science is being lost yet again. Now, if we see Bhagavad Gita, something interesting. In Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara we do lot of focus on. Jiva we do lot of focus on. Oh, I am fallen because I came into the material world. I got contaminated by association with material nature. But little do we focus on the third aspect, which is Prakriti. What am I giving back to material nature? To Prakriti. Usually we are always thinking, Prakriti, I was a nice spirit soul because I got contaminated because of this Prakriti. But what are you doing to Prakriti? Right? So, there are five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kal and Karma. Normally, it is said that you have only, Shastrically we have influence only over one thing out of that, which is Karma. But with little bit of responsibility, we can take care of at least preserving Prakriti. We cannot influence Prakriti in any way. Prakriti influences us, but we can be more loving towards Prakriti. So, the Bhagavad Gita already deals with this subject matter. Krishna consciousness deals with this subject matter. In Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Lord Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. Lord Krishna is saying that nature is like a mother. And I am the father and we all are the children. So the mother, she will provide the child the food and other items according to what is necessary for the child. That much faith the child should have on the mother. Now that is the scriptural view of mother nature. Now see the demonic view of mother nature. There was one famous thinker, I would like to say infamous thinker. His name is Francis Bacon. Name itself is Bacon. Okay. So, he says, now look at this perverted view. It's very interesting. He says, actually nature is not like a mother. Nature is a wicked prostitute. Just imagine. This view. Humanity must bring this nature under control using technology and extract from her the gifts that she is not ready to give. And he says, almost, he says, you fools, if you want to believe that nature is indeed mother, call her as an evil stepmother at best. See, you're thinking, call her as a stepmother. Now, why are they saying this? Because it's easy to blame nature. Because a Again, even if you take a different view from Bhagavad Gita, it is said, this material nature is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Dukhalayam ashashvatam, which means it gives misery and everything is temporary, so therefore nature is a wicked prostitute. You know? So if you look at it in that way, then you know, someone can read that part of the Bhagavad Gita and say that, oh, it is Mother Nature which is creating all this problem. So bad, so bad. Nature is the cause of disease, old age and death. So one can say that way also, right? But that is where Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a good understanding of this, that it may be dukhalayam in one sense, but we have to understand that scriptures also say that this prakriti in which we are living is actually not designed for our eternal enjoyment. Like Devamrita Maharaj always says, this material body as well as this whole prakriti is a machinery which is designed to fail. Right? Everything will go down eventually. Bhagavatam says Mother Earth will produce lesser and lesser. We are only accelerating that process by misuse. But why? Because this whole material universe itself is not ordained for us doing our sense gratification. You cannot go to a jail after committing a murder and say, what kind of facilities are you providing? What is going on here? I need Wi-Fi access. Where's 4G? They'll say, come here, sit down. You committed murder. You raped. You murdered. You did all nonsense activities. And now you want facilities here. Please understand, this is a jail here. It's meant for your reformation. So that you can get reformed and go back. And you can lose your desire to come back to this jail. Now if you see it in this context, we'll understand why material nature has been designed by the Lord as dukhalayam ashashvatam. But these people, rascals like these thinkers, so-called thinkers, who can't think, they take a very narrow view of this. And then Mother Earth is, designed to fail, therefore, she is a wicked prostitute and so on and so forth. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita very brilliantly, gives us this kind of a perspective here. And he says, when we try to cut, therefore what they conclude, having called Mother Nature as an evil prostitute, or as at best a stepmother, they say, our job is to conquer, not cooperate. Conquer Mother Nature. Now, when we try to control nature, who is the controller of nature? Mayadhyakshena prakrite suyate sacharachar. Hetu nane kaunte jagat viparivartate. Lord Krishna has already said that I am the controller of material nature. Everything is moving under my direction. And then I am saying, no, not you. I am going to control material nature. So, we are trying to become the controller. And whenever it is mentioned that this is the fall in consciousness, this is that exact fall. We are trying to replace God. We are trying to become God. And this is what Hiranyakashipu also wanted. This is Hiranyakashipu consciousness. First he wanted to be the controller, then he wanted to be the enjoyer. So we want to control and then we want to enjoy Mother Nature. To conclude, just one more interesting point that I saw. This Harvard University, they have come up with what is called as the Gaia hypothesis. Which is interesting. Gaia, G-A-I-A. You can Google if you want to. Okay. And there is a PDF document which I didn't have time to read, which eventually probably I would. But it's very interesting what they say. Now, if you go through the Srimad Bhagavatam sections up until now, the last 2-3 chapters, you will find that Mother Earth was not cooperating. You remember at the beginning of the class we talked about and how Maharaj Prithu chastised Mother Nature. That how dare you, how can you not, produce food grains and whatever, and then she talked about it. Now, this Gaia hypothesis is interesting. Lest anyone thinks that this whole pastime of Maharaj Prithu with Mother Nature is mythology, because it's easy even for a devotee to start that. Did Maharaj Prithu really level the land? Did Mother, Earth really kind of take the form of Mother Cow and all that? Lest someone thinks that Mother Earth cannot give back this, and people have more faith in the management universities of this world. For that, this Gaia hypothesis is very interesting. It says that, the hypothesis says that Earth is an organism. What does it say? Earth is an organism sees, that sees threatening stimuli. It's an organism that sees threatening stimuli, and when it sees that, it will respond in a defensive way. Now when you go back, was Earth not doing that exactly? It was doing that. Okay. So if you don't want to believe Bhagavatam and believe, you know, Gaia hypothesis, still, or maybe through Gaia hypothesis, we may have more faith in Bhagavatam. The other way. Okay. So the child starts harming the mother. When the child starts harming the mother may have something to do to protect herself. She has to protect herself. But the mother basically also must take care of the child. The earth has got a mother's heart. The earth, like all organisms, has a healing mechanism which will promote recovery once the hostile stimuli is removed. Because at the end of the day, earth is mother nature. Mother will pardon the child. Like that. So, as devotees, to conclude, how can we contribute to this ecological damage? Not contribute in a sense. How can we contribute to stopping this ecological damage? So, Chaitanya Charitamrita concludes this article by saying, by weeding out godless materialism. Godless materialism. Not just weeding out materialism. Godless materialism. Means if you really want to enjoy, no problem. You do it, but do it in a regulated way. Weed out godless materialism from our consciousness and then let nature do her part of the job. You do your part. Srila Prabhupada also says that suffering from humanity, Prabhupada often says that suffering and humanity are nothing but a symptom of polluted aim of life. Prabhupada says our polluted consciousness is the reason for our suffering. Which pollution? Inner pollution. Inner pollution, that inner pollution which leads to outer pollution. So the more these polluted aims can be purified, the more we can live in harmony with nature and with Krishna. Now, there's an interesting point that comes here. It says that while we can inherit from the past, we should refrain from borrowing from the future. While we can inherit from the past and be grateful to our ancestors, the good things we can inherit, we should also refrain from borrowing from our future, because then what kind of a planet are we leaving for our children? Now that is one interesting point. But another interesting point, which one of, you know, which I heard in one Bhakti Vriksha, I think it was Ramya Mataji who mentioned this point once to me, and it just remained with me, is we always think of leaving a better planet for the future generation. But as devotees, should we not think about leaving a better future generation for the planet? A more educated future generation, a more responsible future generation, a more devotional future generation for the planet. So that is how we as devotees can contribute to the future. So it's 9 o'clock, I'll stop here and I'll ask if there are any comments, questions, corrections.
Prabhu, you mentioned about improper consciousness and stuff. How do we prevent like people with, you know, promoting websites like Tinder and all the illegal relationship, or you know, they're promoting, you know, have an affair, you know, I saw so many advertisements like that. So what's your, how do we prevent where they're making a money out of it, objectifying, the men and stuff? How do we
So we can promote it using our material knowledge as well as our spiritual knowledge. So spiritual knowledge is common sense. We can do it by promoting Krishna consciousness. We can promote it by explaining the Ishavashya principle to mankind, that everything animate or inanimate is owned by the Supreme Lord, and we should only take what rightfully is our ordained quota. That's one which we know. But material also we can contribute, because Lord Krishna has given us material abilities. So if someone is having the skill to create a website and do propaganda, then with our material skills we can also do reverse propaganda on that. Nothing stops us from doing that. So for example, as much as engineers, the non-devotee engineers are contributing towards exploiting mother nature, there are a set of engineers, in India For example, all of you know about the WADA project, right? There are a set of engineers who have done that, okay? Who have used their engineering abilities to reduce reliance on technology and go back to basic science. Right? They have used their science and engineering knowledge there. So, as devotees, we still have a lot of, we have acquired material education. You know, we were, I'm sure most of us were not, you know, most of us didn't study in any Gurukul or anything like that, right? Most of us went to material education. So, we have a lot of material education. We have engineering education. We have management education. So, we can use that material education to at least put material solution to this problem. Putting a material solution should not be ignored. The importance of a material solution cannot be ignored. For example, when someone gets a bruise, you cannot ignore the importance of band-aid. Because that gives first aid at it. Then you can remove the probably, you know, the root cause of the infection and whatever, whatever. Or the root cause which caused the bruise. You can definitely, we should look at preventive measures. But we should not ignore or undermine the importance of immediate corrective measures. So, material solutions can be thought about, you know, using our material intelligence. Through that we can. So, if somebody is putting up a portal, then, for example, if you are good at IT, you put up a portal and then educate, you know, against that. For example, devotees are doing that. There was some nonsensical movie. There was a movie called as PK, okay, which kind of ridiculed, you know, quite a bit of our culture, calling it as mythology and sentiment. Okay, but devotees have come up with a counter drama and a CD, okay, which systematically counters those points which have been ridiculed. So we can use. So there can be a, you know, material solution and material combined with spiritual solution. We can use. Okay. You had a question.
Thank you for an nice class. Occasionally when we go out for preaching, like there are many people these days actually getting quite, you know, have deeper knowledge and alternative lifestyle. And many of those people sometimes they criticize us because we're creating so much waste, because we're quite, like, we buy so many things which like back impact on the environment and for many such reasons. So how shall we deal with that?
So let me understand. What you're saying is the devotees the outside world criticizes the devotees for buying so many things.
Like, for example, like people that can criticize us that we create so much kind of rubbish, so much paper rubbish here, that we buy so much commercial milk, that we use so much commercial soap, that we pollute the water, and that very many people sometimes they, like, I know a lot of people that criticize us for
it. Yeah. So definitely, and I think Bhakta Prabhu has, you know, very nicely addressed this in so many of his classes. That as devotees, we are not beyond the law. Okay. So, as devotees, it behooves us to set the right example for the rest of the world. Okay. So, devotee doesn't mean that, you know, I wouldn't punch the ticket when I enter the tram. Or, you know. Devotee doesn't give you a license because, oh, I am Krishna's agent. So, Prabhupada said, no, you cannot steal from others' garden and say that it's all Krishna's property. So, being devotee means we have to be even more socially responsible. We have to be leaders, right? And we have to set, as leaders, we have to set example. By our own example, we have to lead. So, yes, and I remember Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj also, when he was here, he reiterates many times, even in Bhakti Vriksha programs, Maharaj was invited to a program, you know, somewhere, and we were serving prasadam in plastic plates. So Maharaj said, what is this? You know, we, as devotees, we should become very responsible. We should not use these plastic plates. For in our own Bhakti Vriksha, if we promote this, then what kind of example are we setting? And immediately after that, the devotees changed. They actually went and brought steel utensils, even for 50 people it means. Let's have 50 steel plates, but no plastic. And then started serving in those kind of plates. So we can do simple things like that. You know, we don't have to do, you know, big things. We don't have to do some big turnkey project worth millions of dollars and go for, you know, funding somewhere. The simple things that we do can change. For example, not throwing litter, you know, refraining from using plastic in our life. For example, I know that there is one in yatras. For example, many spiritual masters have done that. You know, when they conduct yatras, where they take around 5,000, 6,000 people for yatras, okay, they have said that, you know, it's a zero plastic yatra, which means if you are bringing a plastic bottle, you have to bring that, fill that and take it out of the dham. Don't leave any plastic in the holy dham. Before that message came, you can imagine, you know, 5,000 devotees coming into a holy dham and then everyone drinking that Bisleri water and then throwing it. So what he organized in the yatra was, he organized actually water supply for everyone. With tokens, you go, you take your own bottle, fill water, and then you go out to wherever you want to see, and then come back. And just imagine the amount of plastic that just got reduced by this one simple thing. It wasn't very difficult. So, sometimes by doing the very basic and simple things, we can, the impact would be very huge, you know, to society. So, that is my two cents on that.
One more question.
Yeah.
For example, we ourselves, if we don't follow this etiquette, will it hamper our spiritual life?
If we don't follow this?
Yeah, for example, if we still, you know, we produce a lot of rubbish, a lot of plastic rubbish,
yeah,
and all that. Buy things which maybe have a negative impact on an environment. And
yes.
Will it hamper our spiritual life, or is that a loophole?
Yeah, definitely it will hamper our spiritual life. Unknowingly, there is a difference between committing something unknowingly and committing something knowingly. If we commit unknowingly, then the holy name can pardon the sins, right? But if we commit something knowingly, especially on the strength of chanting the holy name, then that becomes an offense. So, unknowingly something committed, while it can pass off as sin, knowingly the same thing committed will now come under the category of offense. And in fact, it is one of the offenses, namnad balad yasehi papa buddhir, which is the seventh offense, right? Do not commit offenses on the strength of the holy name. So just because we are devotee, we are chanting, then on the strength of our devotional service, then we are committing sins. Then it becomes an offense, and that has got a recursive effect, because that itself will reduce our devotional service for the holy name. So as devotees, we have to be even more careful than the outsiders, because outsiders don't even have knowledge. Like, we are not a baby, we are now adult. But after adult also, if I start crying at howling at 2 o'clock in the night, like that, and you know, our spouse has to bring food immediately, then that's not very mature behavior, right? As babies, yeah, you can say. Or as adults, if I don't have time to go to the bathroom and I want to pass wherever I am, you know, then that is not acceptable. Then it is not coming out of ignorance; it is coming out of willful disobedience, like that. Knowingly we are doing that, so that is not acceptable. Yeah.
Just a quick comment. There's a very, very big group of scientists who are trying to work out a solution for the environmental crisis we are in. So it was understood that coal is the problem, a lot of coal is being burnt. So it's said, get off coal. So the poor countries, they have to have fumes. So they got into wood. So they are chopping off the trees. So now there is not enough oxygen, so that does not solve the problem of, you know, greenhouse emissions. So the coal and trees don't work. Let's go to another one. Let's get into nuclear power, and that's the solution. Now that's, we'll solve unlimited power, everything, blah blah blah. Nuclear waste. What do we do with this? Throw it in the outer space? Oh, if it comes back, then what? No, too risky. So what do we get to do? Solar panels, yes, we've got it. Solar panels. Solar panels it is. But the solar panels don't work as well. Germany.
What's the question?
It's a comment.
Oh, it's a comment. Okay.
That they don't have a solution, and they've admitted it. We don't have a solution for the power crisis that we are in. They've admitted it. There are 220 factors. The growing economies don't want to cooperate. You developed countries, you've made, you know, your fortunes by using all the power, and now you're putting restrictions on us. Not acceptable. We need to take care of our population, our people. You know, you are in opulence and you're telling us not to do, not agreeable. There is no solution. Literally, there is no solution. There is only the solution of raising the consciousness. And
Sanket,
that's what it is.
Hare Krishna, Hare,
Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. श्रीमद्भागवतम की
जय।
प्रभुपाद की जय।